Our theme tonight is listen to the money, don't listen to the noise. There's lots of noise around the Electoral College 3 days from now. On December 19th, the Electoral College will give the necessary majority to Trump. Just ignore all the rest of the noise. The facts are consumer confidence is up since the election. Small business confidence is up a lot since the election. The stock market is up. And the Republican Party, the military, and Wall Street, including Goldman Sachs, are on board and pleased by the transition so far. Only Hollywood, the corporate media, the Washington bureaucracy outside the military, and some intelligence in Silicon Valley are still miffed. Interestingly enough, we saw a significant number of Silicon Valley leaders and CEOs showed up to meet with Trump at Trump Tower this week. And we see Bill Gates in the news likening Trump to JFK publicly. So they seem to be at least towing the line. It is curious what is happening around the noise around the Electoral College. You have a lot of people still in denial about why Clinton lost and really not able to adjust. Part of it was given the presentation in the corporate media, they really didn't consider it a possibility. But there's a more serious aspect among the sort of groups that have been used to make credible the empire model, and that is you have different political and financial interests that are very vested in the empire model, and multiculturalism was their air cover, but there's and that air cover has a lot of misunderstanding, naivete, and entrainment involved. But I assure you, the empire guys know what they're doing, and they have serious problems that continue. A surprising number of the Clinton supporters are turning out to be more intolerant and nasty than the Trump supporters. Although the reality is we have too many people on both sides who are not listening and still don't have enough understanding of the phenomena that we're dealing with, particularly on the economic side. It looks like Clinton has no plans to adjust. She just threw a $100,000 dinner at a New York hotel for her staff out of campaign funds. To me, it's another clear indication that money could have been used to help the homeless in New York over Christmas, to help the people in Flint build a new water system. Imagine what it would cost if they had simply gone to a nice New York diner or deli. We're in an explosion of accusations and news regarding so-called fake news and alleged Russian hacking of the election, including the WikiLeaks dissemination of DNC and Podesta emails. And I want to talk about that as part of this listen to the money, don't listen to the noise, because this is the part of the noise that gets deeply disturbing and is important to understand. And it goes back to the people who are vested in empire and having difficulty with this. So a former British ambassador this week came out. It's a British ambassador to Uzbekistan. And has stated for the record that he was an intermediary between an insider who leaked the materials from the DNC and Podesta and gave them to WikiLeaks. So he's saying, I gave it to WikiLeaks. I got it from an insider. I was an official intermediary on behalf of WikiLeaks at their request. And none of this came from the Russians. And, of course, we know Assange is always already on the record saying the materials did not come from the Russians. But clearly it came from insiders. But we see the CIA briefing the Intelligence Committee in Congress saying that the Russians hacked the election and that's, sort of why Trump won. And the reality is if you look at the news anchors covering this, we see one pretty sensible news anchor say, given what happened on the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the fact that the CIA says they have a secret report that this is true, but they're not going to give us any evidence. Frankly, this is wolf. I don't believe them. And we also see other intelligence agencies declining to affirm. So every signal says that it's a bluff, or many signals say that it's a bluff. I give the chances that it's a bluff at about 99%. Now, I truly expect that Russian ISPs were trying to hack every party involved. They're certainly always trying to hack us. But just because something is a Russian ISP has nothing to do with the Russian government necessarily, let alone Putin. Now they're trying to tie this back directly to Putin. Oftentimes when someone in America hacks someone else in America, they use scores of ISPs all over the world. I've described this before. after Russia Crest in the 1990s, there was a lot of software and hardware talent, systems talent in Russia that got networked with U.S. businesses. Simply a lot of talent available, low price, looking for work, desperate for work. So it also doesn't mean that if these groups are being used, that the person financing the hack is coming from Russia. They could be coming as much from here. Newt Gingrich gave an interview about the whole issue of whether or not the Russians had any impact on the election, and gave a very good interview. One of the things he stated was the CIA had no concern about Clinton keeping classified information on an insecure personal server for years. Why all of a sudden they worried about the DNC? But it does say something about everybody's basic digital security, if this is true. Given that the Clinton campaign had $1.3 billion in funding for the campaign and the DNC had even more, why these groups couldn't have legitimate security seems very odd. And the reality is, if an insider provided the information, no amount of security would protect. So there's been an interesting series of interviews. One I looked at was Sean Hannity interviewed Ann Coulter, who said, this is really remarkable, who said, one of the main proponents of this Russia, I mean, the articles in New York Times and the Washington Post, they're all anonymous sources from the CIA, an agency we really need to get rid of because it's utterly useless and eats up a lot of tax money. It's kind of funny, you know, what's interesting about this quote, and the reason I wanted to read it, is we now have analysts and a whole variety of different people not afraid in the corporate media to say, you know, the CIA lies and it's not credible, and the Washington Times and New York Times is just using that, and that's not credible. So it's a remarkable turn of events. Now, the whole thing would be completely ludicrous if it was not for the fact that what is happening reflects a very serious war. So I want to talk about why something that seems ludicrous can be very serious. Number one, as you know, I believe that the Anthony Weiner laptop basically won the presidential election for the Republicans. And I think one of the things that laptop is involved in is serious pedophilia scandals. There are people who will tell you that the pedophilia problems have reached an epidemic level, and I think that's probably true. If you want to know more about this, I would read the Nick Bryant interview I did in 2012. It's in the archives. It's on the Franklin cover-up, which was a pedophilia scandal that broke in Washington in 1989. If it was that bad, then you can imagine how bad it is now. But, it may be helpful to you. Independent media, part of the problem they have with the scandal is independent media keeps researching and sharing information and is probably getting too close, is my guess, or certainly will get close if they keep going at the current pace. Before Andrew Breitbart, founder of Breitbart News, died, and I happen to believe that death was not natural, he had started to point out different issues around Podesta and pedophilia networks, or so it's interpreted from some of his tweets. And this might help explain the hysteria over Steve Bannon coming into the White House as a chief strategist, because his networks, with Trump having access to the Anthony Weiner laptop, his access into the independent media is quite good. Anyway, so what we're seeing is suddenly major disinformation being dumped on the independent media around this topic. And my guess is it's far from over. At the same time, what I will say is independent media seems to be doing a better job of not getting buried or distracted by it, particularly the independent researchers. And I think that's partly because if you look at what's going on in terms of pedophilia, particularly around the Clinton Foundation and the sort of money flowing through there, the case of Jeffrey Epstein is so well documented, and there are other things that are well documented, and the Podesta emails do raise a lot of questions. So part of their problem is the independent media. The other reality is with Trump and his team having access to that support, presumably from parts of the FBI and NYPD, it gives him a decided advantage, particularly if he and Pence are clean on the score, which it wouldn't surprise me if they were clean on this score. Not everybody's dirty. Anyway, so there's tremendous fear of the disclosure of this scandal, not just because of how shocking it would be to many, many Americans, but it very much compromises the control file system, because pedophilia is one of the things used to create a lot of control files and provide a lot of personnel benefits. And that kind of scandal could compromise the legitimacy of the tax system, of the credit system, and really kill the divide and conquer, so people could really come together. Because one thing everybody shares in America, almost everybody, is love for their kids and grandkids. Now, it's far from Obama and Clinton and the Democrats who are afraid. There are lots of people in Washington on both sides of the aisle that live in terror of this. I ran into this because I believe that the secretary I was working for in the Bush administration when I was Assistant Secretary of Housing was being blackmailed related to the Franklin cover-up. And I tell that story, quite a while ago in a commentary on the website. And I will put a link. It's called Kemp Cuomo, Pedophilia Kemp Cuomo, It's Hard Out There for a Pimp. And we'll put a link in the subscriber, in the subscriber links. But when I saw Kemp being blackmailed, and I believe it was over this, and I was warned by one of my deputies that Kemp was involved in pedophilia, but you'll see the whole story if you read the commentary. I've seen people facing death, and Kemp was much more afraid than that. So this brings real terror to a whole world of people who feel completely empowered to behave in these ways, but are terrified at the thought. You know, it's kind of like a multiple personality disorder that the broad middle class around America should know that they're involved in this. Okay, other issue is empire. The people I suspect who are pushing this have not given up on the empire agenda. Particularly, they don't want it to be so easy for Trump now, with Rex Tillerson coming on board as Secretary of State, to be able to achieve detente with Russia. Remember, they want World War III with Russia. Trump and the Republican team, if you look at what they're doing, seem to be gathering much more into a Judeo-Christian nations first, America first, but then Judeo-Christian nations first, pushing away the Middle East and China, which is a very different picture than the empire and the multicultural empire that, you know, that we saw the other group push. Finally, there's an issue of media market share. If you want to know more about the relationship between the CIA and the media, a great place to start is Alexander Cockburn and Jeffrey St. Clair's book, White Out, the CIA, Drugs in the Press. But the CIA and their networks for many, many decades have literally controlled a lot of the corporate media, and they have taken the fine art of fake news to a whole new level. The reality is they're losing control. Others are taking that market share away, including using some of their techniques. I'm not saying all the people doing that are necessarily, I have tremendous respect for, but the reality is that their game is diminishing dramatically, and really diminished during the last election. Anyway, this threatens their whole position, not to mention their budget in the next administration. So if the president-elect is on the news saying, you know, this is all what the CIA is saying is not true, it's a bunch of buck, that's bad for their budget. And in fact, what we're seeing is normally the CIA would lead the briefings of the president-elect every day before now in the inauguration. The reality is he's only getting a briefing once a week from the CIA, and every other day is being briefed, apparently, the word is, by Booz Allen Hamilton. When asked why he's only being briefed once a week by the CIA, he said, you know, they just repeated what they had to say. It was basically saying it was a waste of his time. So we can see multiple threats coming to the CIA budget is what I'm hearing. Now, this gets serious because the House has now passed H.R. 6393, Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2017. It was passed by a California Republican whose third largest donor was Google, or Google's parent Alphabet. But if you read it, it's designed to counteract fake news coming in from manipulations of people like Russia. The problem is if you look at what is involved with implementation, you're basically talking about giving government major power to essentially, I think, wipe out the First Amendment and free speech. So, and that brings us to the latest news from Facebook, which has announced that they are going to start filtering fake news from their news feed or move it to the bottom. And that's combined with legal problems at Facebook. Apparently, Zuckerberg has worked with the board and re-engineered the capital structure to give him control even if he leaves. I mean, it's incredible, but it's all designed to make sure that Zuckerberg has complete control and means whoever is controlling Zuckerberg has complete control. And it goes back to my belief that Facebook is just a way for the CIA to save money, keeping their dossiers on everybody in America and globally updated, not only for free, but make money having everybody update their own dossier. And so basically what we're seeing is we're at a point where this is getting and headed to get to a place where it's so ludicrous. It's extremely important for each one of us to determine who are the honest journalists. And, you know, we're going to have to do this individual by individual. And it's going to have to come down to whether or not we, the people, give our views and hints and pay attention to and subscribe to the people who are honest or continue to suck into the game of the people who are trying to manipulate and control the news. And so I think there's going to have to be a dramatic action on the market's half. I wanted to mention one other thing about, because my fear on all of this is we're going to start to see serious witch hunting against the independent news, particularly if they use the pedophilia word. It reminds me a little bit like Cotton Mather and the Salem witch trials. The Salem witch trials, the thing kind of went out of control when Cotton Mather agreed that spectral evidence could be submitted. Spectral evidence is very much like what the CIA is doing with their secret decision, their secret study, their secret evidence that we can't know. Spectral evidence was if I say that your ghost was in my bedroom on Saturday night and got me to kill my husband, then you have to prove that your ghost wasn't in my bedroom. And if you can't prove that your ghost wasn't in my bedroom, then you can be found guilty of being a witch. And the way you could prove you weren't a witch was if you were dunked underwater for, you know, more than you could hold your breath and died, then you weren't a witch. So that's spectral evidence. And what we're watching is the beginning of the potential for a lot of spectral evidence to be used and thrown around. I know because I used to have to disprove spectral evidence for 11 years straight. It was quite interesting. When we finally got to trial, after the first day, my attorney turned to me in shock and he said, "Oh my God, they have nothing." I said, "I've been telling you that for 8 years. They have nothing." He said, "It was all a bluff." Problem is, these guys, when they bluff, they just keep doubling down and doubling down and doubling down. You know, and if they can make you spend 11 years and $6 million to prove that they're just bluffing, you know, not everybody has 11 years and $6 million to do that. I will say one thing. After America lost $6 trillion, 4,500 American soldiers, 32,000 wounded, and millions of Iraqis and people in the Middle East destroyed or killed after, you know, not to mention all the people destroyed and killed in Haiti and Libya and in many, many places around the world. After watching all of that, I think America is getting much more immune to the lies. The result of all of this is what we're seeing is a massive increase in the interest in decentralization and getting something done locally. Washington, Wall Street, the pro-centralization team is getting a lot less fashionable. The reality is if the new administration is going to get the tax rate lowered and start bringing money in, there's a lot of opportunity locally, particularly now with the debt growth model over money back to real. So whether you're smelling opportunity or the pro-centralization team is looking a lot less fashionable and attractive, don't be surprised to see a lot more interest in decentralization. So again, our theme was look at the money, not the noise. So don't pay attention to all the various noise. The shriekometer is on high volume. Look at the money. And the money says that Trump will be elected in the Electoral College and inaugurated. And there's going to be a lot to rock and roll on. Probably where you live, it's going to be in every county in America.